Mr. Punch presents The Chronicle, a history told in four parts. Compiled and abridged by Sue Rodwell and directed by John Tuckey. Book 2, April to June.
The Blackburn Times, April the 1st, 1882. The Cup Final. With fine weather and the prospect of an exciting contest, it was to be expected that a large number of persons would be attracted to Kennington Oval on Saturday afternoon. And the expectation was realised, as the attendance was swollen to 6,000 about 3 o'clock. There was a considerable body of the Rovers supporters in attendance, the two special trains from East Lancashire, in the early hours of the morning, having brought about 700 persons, while 200 others had made the journey on the previous day. Amongst them were many Blackburn gentlemen and tradesmen, and, clustered on the grandstand in front of the pavilion of the Surrey Cricket Club, they gave a hearty welcome to their parliamentary representatives, Mr. W. E. Briggs and Mr. W. Coddington. Some of the old Etonians first appeared within the enclosure and were soon followed by the main body of the Rovers, while the majority of the Eton men, followed by the two captains, did not leave the dressing room until some minutes later. The appearance of the Rovers was somewhat disappointing, for the familiar jerseys had been for the time discarded, and dark blue jerseys with white stripes donned in their stead. In the evening, one member of the team jestingly attributed the result of the match to the change of jerseys and affirmed that he had in one instance passed the ball to an opponent instead of to his partner. There was a marked contrast in the style of play of the rival teams, and to Blackburn spectators the game revealed features unusual in the North. While the Rovers worked their way towards their opponent's goal by passing, the Etonians did so by rushes, the player securing the ball at the start, retaining possession of it until robbed or checked, and his partner bearing him company to render assistance when opposition appeared. The Etonians indulged in none of the dribbling or dodging which forms an interesting and pleasing part of the famous Lancashire team's play, reliance being placed instead on the weight and speed of the forwards. A still greater contrast was afforded in the kicking of the ball when running. While the Rovers sent the leather forward, so little raised above the ground as almost to touch it in skimming along, their opponents kicked the ball much higher and, springing up at it while dashing along, delivered the kick frequently with both feet off the ground. The spring was made whether or not an opponent was close to the ball when it bounded, and the Rovers, unaccustomed to this practice, were badly kicked, particularly towards the finish, when the play was mainly in close quarters. To the same fact was probably due the entire absence, or nearly so, of the scrimmages almost on the goal line that are often seen on northern football fields. And while the Rovers used heads, chests and knees as well as feet in manipulating the ball, the old boys relied entirely on kicking. When the cheering which greeted the advent of the rival captains had subsided, the toss for choice of goals was made, and the Rovers' chief was unfortunate in losing. The Etonians chose to play with the wind in their favour and the sun at their backs. The ball was kicked off by Strachan at 3:08. A light touch to the left gave the leather to Brown, who sent it forward, but it was instantly returned, and the Etonians rushed along, and in a few seconds Chevalier made a couple of corner kicks, but each was followed by a kick from the goal. The first kick from the corner flag for the Rovers was made by Douglas. The ball was missed by all the players in the mouth of the goal, but was promptly sent in by the Rovers' captain. Kinnaird relieved his side, and McCauley made a run, in which he was aided by Dunn, who passed to Anderson, and that player, by a side shot, scored a goal at the end of the first 8 minutes' play for the Etonians. For a breach of rule which forbids handling, a free kick was awarded against the Etonians in their quarters, but McIntyre missed the ball when it was lightly sent to him by Fred Hargreaves.